Again, good morning. Hopefully everybody is doing well, and it's good to see all of y'all, and the weather definitely is changing. It's getting cooler. It's getting darker sooner. That's the only thing that I don't like is the whole going to work when it's dark and getting off when it's dark. That's a little tough. Yeah, Wilson's like, I don't know. I've always done that. That's nothing new. Oh, man. Amen. So it's good to see all of y'all this morning. Of course, you know, our theme verse for this particular 13-week lesson is Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which now, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Faith of the Son of God, right? Who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved each and every one of you. He gave himself for you. He wants the best for you. He wants you to do your part, though, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to sit idly by and just do Christianity and come to church when you're supposed to come to church and do your little thing. He wants you to grow in him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to just see all the benefits that are available as a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. So this particular lesson, the next slide, is it's very, very, very basic and fundamental. Now, I think it's more of a lesson of encouragement, knowing that I believe everybody in this room knows the Lord Jesus Christ, have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in their life. So it's very basic stuff, but I think it's also very encouraging. And it was encouraging to me going through the lesson today, and we'll get into it here in a minute, but the next slide is just a couple things or some nuggets I would like to have you guys take out of this particular lesson. Lesson one, or number one, is understand that our acceptance in Christ is based solely on our birth into his family. Number two, it realized that we are not defined by our past lives or our fleshly desires. And number three, embrace our identity and continue in growing to reach our potential as a new creature in Christ. Amen. So that's some really good stuff. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we'll look at, of course, the passages of Scripture for this lesson. Is 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read verses 2 through verse 9. So I'll give you a minute to get there. Second Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Dear Father, again, thank you so much for this lesson. And it's just an encouragement to know that we are a newborn in you. You have given us the salvation, and we have come to repentance to you, and Lord, you saved us, and Lord, we thank you for that. And again, we thank you for all that you've done for us this morning. Be with us for the next few minutes, and be again with the next hour as Pastor brings forth the word. In your name I pray. Amen. Yeah. So, you know, you kind of think about it, you know, we tend to associate ourselves with our identity and our behavior, right? And what do we usually do? You know, we define ourselves as, Elijah, how are you, sir? Oh, what do you do for a living? What do you do? Okay, you work at Fred Meyers. Okay, and you, Brother Wilson, how are you, sir? How do you do?
Well.
Yeah, what do you do for a living?
I'm a supervisor in a mulch shop.
Okay, very good. So a lot of experience with that kind of thing. And okay, good. So we identify ourselves by what we do, right? A lot of people ask me, oh, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a district asset protection manager. I oversee safety shrink operations. And I look at this other, all this different stuff. Like, oh, that's great. How long you work for Lowe's? Oh, 19 years. You know, you kind of have that conversation going with different people about what they do. And that's good. I mean, you kind of want to know people and what they've done. But what really should we identify with? Hi, I'm Jason. How are you? Your name?
Elijah.
Hey, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. How are you? You are? Are you born again? Yeah. I mean, all right. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe not be that direct, but again, we're just defined that way. We're defined on who we identify, with, right, and how that behavior coincides with our identity, right? But again, I love what it says here, but God defines you by birth, not your behavior. You belong to him because of your belief, right? So, man, I thought about that. It's like, yeah, praise the Lord. God sees me for who I am, and he loves me. No matter what I've done or what I'm doing, he sees me for what I am. It's not my behavior that, you know, makes me who I am. It's God, right? He transforms me. He makes me who I am. And it's like, it goes back to the whole thing of, you know, the relationship of a father and a son or a father and a daughter. Like for Morgan, for example, I will always be her dad no matter what, and we identify that way, and nothing will ever change. God's the same way, right? And I love her unconditionally, freely. God's the same way, right? God is, if you are a born-again Christian, you are his child, and nothing will ever change that. Never. Nothing will ever change that. Although there are many ways we should grow as Christians throughout our lives, there are four aspects of our relationship with God that are fully in place at the moment we are born again into his family. And I'll kind of look at those four things today, this morning. But it's like, just realize that, yes, we want to identify with who we are, but we don't identify based on our behavior. But we want to know that, hey, you know, I am a Christian. I stand for this. Be a testimony at work, be a testimony in church, be a testimony with your friends so they can see a difference, right? And then through that, people will be hopefully asking questions on why. Why are you so different? Well, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He's given me so much. And I want to in turn, again, bless him, right? Amen. Number one, newborn equals 100% new creature. Right? 100% new creature. We understand that, of course, you know, new babies, right? There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of growing. There's a lot of struggling. There's a lot of messes. There's a lot of oops. Right? But we're the same way. If we, you know, as soon as we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there's that growing period, right? There's that time of us really trying to learn and trying to grow, and we struggle through things. We mess up. But you know what? But we are 100% new creature in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen? And it's so true. And it's like I think Brother Clark said, we are in a construction. What was you say last week, brother, or the week prior? Construction?
We're either in construction or
in destruction. Destruction. There we go. You know, we are completely, like you can almost look at that, as soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we're right there as being spiritually rebuilt, right, in a new construction and a new phase in our life. It literally means that God crucified your sins, and that is so awesome to know that. Romans chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Right? We should not serve sin. We are 100% new creatures in our Lord Jesus Christ. We live spiritually, right? We have that opportunity to spiritually grow in him, an opportunity to just seek his face and to be closer to him through God's word and through prayer. And what is our ultimate goal? So we want our kids, when they're young, we want them to grow in the Lord, but in a worldly sense, we want them to mature and to be responsible. We need to be the same way spiritually. We need to get to the point where when we got saved, now our duty is to mature in Him and to learn about Him and to be responsible in the things of God, right? Because we want that relationship to be with Him. But again, we need to ensure that we mature, right? Even though it will take the rest of your life for the new creature to mature and unlearn all things that our old sin nature taught your flesh. Now, that can be, again, specifically hard for those that might have gotten saved later in life who were struggling with different things, but different sins, but you can have victory over that, can't you? You sure can. Christ saved you, but He is completely rebuilding you, isn't He? He is. One day at a time. But you got to do your part too, right? You just can't sit back and just say, yeah, okay, you know, just rebuild me, Lord. I'm here. No, you got to do your part. You got to be in the Word. You got to be in prayer. You've got to be willing to have the Lord work in your life. Accepting the idea that I'm a new creature is a faith thing and not just a feeling. But that was kind of good. It is. It's a faith thing, right? Accepting Him, knowing that I am a new creature and that I have a lot of work to do, but I have to have faith in Him that He can transform me and help me and mature in His Word. Simple as that. But we've got to understand that it takes faith. And faith sometimes can be difficult, but we have to understand that we have to have faith in knowing that what He has for us, man, if we could wrap our head around really what is in store for us, if we were just to buckle down and to really get to know Him and have a relationship with Him. But again, this world that we live in, we struggle, it's hard, it's difficult. But if you just take it one day at a time, an hour at a time, a minute at a time, and really allow the Lord to work, He can do great things in your life, right? After salvation, your new nature is godly, inhabited by God's Holy Spirit, but your flesh and mind are well-trained in behaving like a sinner, right? The fact that you can still sin doesn't mean you don't have a new nature, right? We have to understand that too. But we need to ensure that we mature. So just like I said, is there any other ways that how we can actually mature in Him? Like I said, reading, you know, God's Word, being in prayer, anything else that comes to mind? Yeah, exactly. Staying in fellowship with other believers, not just, you know, going to the mountain and having church by yourself, you know, really having fellowship with those that are around you that can encourage you, that can help you through God's Word and grow. Anything else? Spreading the Word, right? Doing what we're supposed to be doing, and then seeing in turn how God can bless that, right? Amen. Yes, enduring trials and tribulations and realizing that He can help you through those and leaning on Him for that. Do what? It helps you to grow. Yeah, it helps you to grow. Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's tough. Right, when the Holy Spirit is kind of like, I was in Yakima, it's probably a couple weeks ago, and the hotel that I was staying in, there was a place I wanted to go for dinner, so it was just right down a couple blocks, so I just walked. On my way back, there was this homeless guy just eating some Taco Bell on the side. And the Holy Spirit is like, are you going to talk to him? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't really want to. He's eating. I kind of want to leave him alone. And the Holy Spirit's like, no, talk to him. So exactly that, right? You have to, and I did. I had a chance. I had, of course, some church tracks. I talked to him for a few minutes, gave him a track. I said, hey, when you get a chance, just take a look at this later, okay? But it's that prompting of, like, if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do it, do it. And if the Holy Spirit's telling you not to do something, and that can be even harder sometimes, right, brother? Yeah, you're like, don't tell them that. Don't say that. Don't. I think that's sometimes harder. Because in your mind, you're like, Elijah. Yeah, right? But no. Or do you know, I'm going to step back. I'm gonna mature through this, right? And when you do that, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life like that, you're maturing. Because the next time it happens, then it's easier to do. Like practice, right? Continuing doing to practice things, practice. Practice makes what? Perfect. Do we want to achieve perfection in our Christian life? Yes. Are we going to be able to attain that? No. but we can strive for it. Always attain, right? We can. We can do that. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. Number two. Número dos. Newborn equals 100% accepted. So, if I were to ask you today, on a scale from 1 to 10, how would you rate your Christianity or how close you are to God? Or how do you feel like you would really rate yourself, right? It was like, oh, man, okay, I'll rate myself a 10. We're doing right. We're doing good. We're doing just awesome. Well, guess what? Jesus sees you at a 10 plus. He accepts you for who you are, for what you've been through, for what you're going through, the shortfalls that you have, the sin that's committed. He knows you're struggling, but you're 100 accepted in him. No questions about that. No questions at all. You are 100% accepted, and you're always will be, no matter what you've done, right? You're always will be accepted by him, 100% accepted. No questions asked. Now, if we look at the context of acceptance, there's two things, and I don't think this is in your little notes or anything like that, but the first one would be is in relationship to Jesus and our belonging to him, okay? And in Ephesians 1:6, you can make a side note of this if you like. Ephesians 1:6 says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he made us accepted in his beloved. I mean, man, that's great. So understand that the first thing of acceptance is a relationship to Jesus and our belonging to him. Number two is basically has to do with labor, our faith in action, right? Doing what we're told to do based on what Brother Stan said, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And then that verse refers to, you know, a pure-hearted, faith-filled service, which is meaningful and will please the Lord if it's how you truly feel and how you want to serve him, right? Don't necessarily do it out of obligation, but sometimes we need to take that step of just doing it, but do it with, again, like it says, wholehearted, pure-hearted, faith-filled service, right? Do it because you love him. Do it because you want to see him work in your life and those around you. You want to see souls saved. You want to do your part. But again, it has to be with love, right? And then Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Man, that's awesome. So with that relationship, knowing that he's 100% accepted you, just, you know, you probably heard this before, you know, enjoy the ride. Well, enjoy that relationship that you have with your Savior. Enjoy it. Relax in it. Knowing that there will be some difficult times, yeah, but at the same time, enjoy the relationship that you have with your Savior. Relax in it, knowing that he will take care of you no matter the difficulties that you go through. And at the time, it may not seem that great, but at the time, you know he's there, right? Enjoy it. Get to know him. Spend time in his word. Spend time in prayer. Pray every time you get a chance. You know, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Just enjoy it. Have fun. It can be fun. I know it's early. And it's kind of dreary outside, so I guess we'll take that. But, really enjoy it. Take time to get to know him. Number three. Newborn equals 100% secure. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians, we'll look at chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed, stamped, finito, done, sealed. That's awesome. Look at a few chapters over. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 30. This is also good, but again, it's a good reminder, too. The very first part of that verse, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Yes, we are sealed, but at the same time, we do not need to grieve the Holy Spirit that lies within us, right? Yes, very true. Don't want to do that. And that's sometimes hard to learn, right? Just like Brother Stan said, you've got to really obey what the Holy Spirit's kind of guiding and direct you and kind of pushing you to do things. We've got to understand, okay, Lord, but we don't want to grieve you either. You don't want to be around doing something you shouldn't be doing and grieving the Holy Spirit. And you guys know this too, right? You know, young folks, whatever, something that you may not be getting into that might not be good, that it goes for young folks, old folks, myself, anybody. I'm old folk right here. You know, no matter what we're doing, we got to understand, first and foremost, before you do that, ask yourself, would the Holy Spirit want me to be doing this? Do you want to grieve the Holy Spirit? No, I do not. Or just think about it too. Would you want, you know, your Savior right next to you while you're doing that? Just saying. But anyways, in regards to number three, yeah, 100% secure. It's almost like a genetic level, right? You're like, man, that's ingrained DNA. You know, that's never going to change. Same goes from a spiritual side of things. We're ingrained with Him, right? We're just we'll never be separated from Him. He will always be my Savior, my Father, and that's awesome. I mean, you can almost just—it's spiritually thinking, a genetic thing. Just like Morgan, myself, we have that genetics. The DNA are there. That will never change. It'll always be that way, right? And that's good. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He is etched in our hearts. We are a new creature. We have absolute security that we have our Savior within our hearts, and then the Holy Ghost is working in us. And that's awesome. I mean, he'll never be separated. Never. Never, never, never. Number four. Newborn equals what? 100% new potential. New potential. Finally, being a newborn in Jesus means you have, I like this what it says here, unbelievable potential for growth and personal transformation. I mean, think about it for a second. Really think about it. And do I fall short on this? I sure do. I am just as much as guilty as maybe anybody in this room. But let me tell you, I have to understand that there is an unbelievable potential for growth and personal transformation if you allow the Lord to work in your life and the Holy Spirit can guide and direct you. It is quiet today. But just, hey, man, there we go. Okay, yes, there we go, amen. So let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, and we'll look at, that's where we were at, of course. Not 1 Peter, 2 Peter. And looking at, of course, those particular verses. But man, we have the potential. You have the potential to allow the Lord to work in your heart. And who knows what He'll do in your life. He could call you to missions. He can call you to be an evangelist. He can call you to be a pastor. He can call you to be the best worker in your job and to be a testimony like you wouldn't believe. And then people keep coming to you and saying, hey, why are you so different? Why are you having such a great attitude? Why, you all this piled on you and you're doing all this, but you still, I don't know, you have a smile on your face. I don't know. You have an unbelievable potential for growth, right? And just like verses 6 says, verse 5 through 8, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take each one of those words and really study them out and take them for what they're worth. Number one, out of your faith virtue. Virtue, okay, what is virtue? What is that all about? Learn about it. Study it. Take that week and say, okay, I'm going to take virtue for what it's worth and move on from there. Patience and temperance and patience and patience, godliness. You know, there's just so much there that if we can just embrace it, we can definitely grow in Him. Like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Do you really desire Him? I don't know. We just have an amazing potential for growth and to be mature in Him. And we have an opportunity to really embark on a journey that is so rewarding, isn't it? Yes. Yes, I think so. I mean, if you're not with me, that's okay. But I think so. Again, we struggle. It's hard. It's difficult. But you definitely have an opportunity to embark on an amazing journey with your Savior specifically. But again, it's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. And we're going to be sometimes, well, I just want to keep growing. I want to grow faster. Well, that's not possible. In His timing, He will allow you to grow at the speed He wants you to grow. But again, man, what an amazing time to grow and mature in Him. Because, I mean, this thing's not going to get any easier. It's becoming worse and worse. I mean, look what's going on in Israel right now. It's just a matter of time for this thing starting to blow up. And how serious is it going to be that we're going to run out of gas and then we're going to run out of food, run out of water? I mean, I'm just going to put a damper on things, but man, are you ready? There's going to be a time where things might be difficult in your life, but other people might be coming to you for answers, and the answer that you have is in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And we just got to be ready for it, because most importantly, people need to be saved. Amen. So, I love James. You've heard me say this before. James chapter 1, verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting absolutely nothing. Wanting nothing. But let patience have her perfect work. Is patience hard? Yes. It's very hard. But let her have her perfect work. Let it be. Make it happen. So in conclusion, the first step to really enjoying Jesus and who you are in Him is to believe it. Just believe it. Simple as that. Accept your new identity. It's a fact of grace. Simple lesson. Nothing new under the sun. Very fundamental. But just know that you are born again in Him, into His family. You're grafted within Him. All we need to do is grow and mature and get to know Him just a little bit better. I love it. Lesson 8 is a new life, old flesh. We're going to understand the in-between, that's in quotations, component of salvation. So we are in a new life, but we deal what? With the old flesh. Did you want to get up and go to church this morning? Yes. Good? Yeah, good. You wanted to. Perfect. There's a win right there. There's a win. That's a win. You probably have seen some of the men that are in the military. You've probably seen this, but there's an admiral that has a speech, and it says about making your bed, that being your first win, you know. Man, that's just, today was that's the first win. Come to Sunday school. Next win, come today, tonight, come back tonight for the Lord's Supper. It's a special time to really remember what He did for you on the cross. All I ask, give Him that. Give Him the opportunity, saying, Lord, You've done so much for me. I am so blessed. What I want to do for You, at least come back tonight and partake of what You did and help me remember what You did on the cross. He died on that cross. He shed His blood. He went through beatings like we would never believe, but He did it because He loved you, and He gave you salvation. All you had to do is ask and receive it. That's all you had to do. So when you're struggling and you're realizing, Lord, I just don't want to come back tonight. I don't feel like it. I'm going to watch the ball game. I'm going to take a nap. I got work tomorrow. Some of us do have work tomorrow. Some of us got to get up really early and go to work tomorrow. We got to go to work all week. But you know what? Give it to the Lord. Just have, Lord, I live in the flesh. It's difficult. It's hard. I understand that. But I will be here. I understand there's circumstances. Don't get me wrong. It's hard. But I don't know. I guess that's a, I'll stop preaching on that one. All we can do is just give the best that we can for him. Because he's done so much for us. He's done so much for us that I don't think we don't really comprehend what he has done for us. I don't think we do. And I'm in the same boat. I am preaching to myself. Because sometimes there is times that I don't want to come back to church. I want to be honest with you. But I know it's the right thing to do. And then when I do show up with the right attitude, the Lord blesses. And the Lord is showing that, you know what? Son, thank you. Thank you for showing up and being here. Being there for fellow believers. Being there for the brethren and sisters in Christ. Being here because you love me. Okay. Last thing. If you are interested in, let's say you missed a Sunday and you need the printout, I have that for you. It is also online. So Paul has done a phenomenal job of actually putting on our website under sermons, brother, and choose the speaker. And within the speaker, you can, of course, you know, my name, for example. And then he's also attached the PowerPoints in each of those lessons too. So if you miss it, let me know, but it's there. And if you like a printout for one of the printouts of the weeks that you've missed. But guess what? Based on what I just said, you won't miss any more for the rest of the day. No, I'm kidding. I know sometimes there's people need to go out of town, and I get it. And work sometimes gets in the way. And see, here I am preaching. Wednesday, I got to go to Montana, and I won't be here. So anyways, do when you can, when you're able, come. I'm just a fellow believer, a brother in Christ, trying to encourage you to come. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be in your family and for us accepting the free gift of salvation. And Lord, you've done so much for us. All we could do is obey you and do what we can to serve you, to be willing to give it our all for you and store up treasures in heaven, Father, and live for you. And Lord, I thank you for those that are here this morning. It's such an encouragement. They come week after week after week. And Lord, it's a blessing to me. It's an encouragement to me. And for those that, you know, continue to be faithful and come. And Lord, it's an encouragement to even pastor. Lord, to see that there are folks that are willing to serve you and want to live for you and love you and trust you. And Lord, just again, thank you for the lesson today. Very basic, very simple, very fundamental, but help us to realize that there is a need to mature in you and to grow. But Lord, thank you so much for those that are here. Bless the next service. We again give you all the honor and glory for all you've done in our lives. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen.